Make March Madness a moneymaker with MyBookie. Getting started is easy. Visit MyBookie online and use promo code ZABE to receive a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Grab your extra funds now and for a limited time, claim a free entry into the $150,000 MyBookie Madness Bracket Contest for a chance at the big money. If you're the type of guy who likes to fill out multiple brackets to get an advantage, you can do that too. The price of entry is less than an Uber, all for a shot at life-changing amounts of moolah. With so many brands to choose from, you need a platform that makes it simple to bet and simple to win and simple to get paid, like MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl has helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, and she says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. After extensive research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create Superfood Complete, made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several that are vital to your dog's health. Dogs across America are trying Superfood Complete and experiencing amazing health benefits. My dog Tucker, oh, he loves it, and I'm sure yours will too. Go to badlandsfood.com/zabe and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsfood.com, badlandsfood.com/zabe today.
This is where the DJ talks. Don't say anything.
Okay.
Here we go, kids.
Look, 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 look.
Oh, beauty, go.
Look, 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 look.
Good. See how I held it there, Charlie?
Yeah, very impressive. Not only can you hit the high note, but then sustain it like that. Oh, man.
I would pay good money to learn how to sing if you could ever get me on pitch. Good money. I don't know how much, just, you know, good money, as they say.
So had you had, if you could go back in time and, you know, so to when you're a kid and it would have been meaningful, would you have rather have had singing lessons, piano lessons, guitar lessons, drum lessons? What would you have wanted to have done so that you could be good at it now, having done it as a kid and then actually like stuck to it?
That's a great question. You know, I would love to be able to knock out something on a guitar and also sing a little bit, but I'd have to have both. If you're telling me I could only have one of the two,
one,
play guitar, sing, or play piano. Those are the three things.
Yeah, piano, drums, you know.
I know how to play.
I'm not going to throw French horn in there, right? Oboe. Bassoon.
I already know how to play drums. That's what I did do in high school.
All right. So would you upgrade? Would you trade up?
It's a useless thing. It's almost as useless as being able to play the oboe because, I mean, how are you going to go, like, impress a chick? Like, hey, look, I can do some sick, you know, flam paradiddles on this drum set. Let me come show you that. I just need to find one. There's no drum sets in lobbies of four-star hotels waiting to be played by you in your tuxedo.
Correct.
After a ball.
That's right.
To impress a chick. Like, wow, this guy's amazing. He's like James Bond all of a sudden.
Yes.
So,
but I guess, let's say you were good at guitar. At what point would you just like whip out your acoustic guitar and impress the ladies? I mean, is that even a thing anymore?
You know what? When you're down at the beach in front of a campfire or whatever, you can bring a guitar with you. You have a good, you know, guitars can travel. You put them in your trunk, put them in your car with your case. You whip it out at social functions. But really, it only works until you're over a certain age. And then you just become a creepy old man. Might as well have a banjo and a beard and suspenders. Hey, everybody. Then you're the Smothers Brothers and you're not cool anymore.
I know who they are. Most of our listeners may not.
Hold on a second. You know the Smothers Brothers, right?
I do, barely. I mean, that's from our youth. They were, you know, they were a thing in the 60s and 70s, but we were just kids.
Right. They were like a banjo duet, right?
I think so. A little bit like Steve Martin is now.
Part comedy.
You know, I was just talking about on your future. Now, what do you want to do with your life when you grow up, you know, when you get bigger? Who do you want to be like?
Well, I'm not going to get much bigger, but who I want to be like, who I admire the most, is I want to be like my father.
Who?
Gort Smothers. He used to take me for walks park. Gort. He used to take me for walks
in the...
Tommy,
no, no, your father's name was Mort.
Then who's that guy I was hanging around
with? I don't know.
Folk singers, musicians, and comedians... The trademark double act was performing folk songs, Tommy on acoustic guitar, Dick on double bass, which usually led to arguments between the two of them. Tommy's signature line was, "Mom always liked you best." Tommy, the elder of the two, acted slow, and Dick, the straight man, acted superior. That was their act.
It was a good. That was a good shtick. Now, you know who's got a good banjo shtick going right now?
Who?
Steve Martin and Martin Short.
They tour as sort of a
1960s almost like vaudevillian act where they almost like a dinner club act, but they do it in bigger theaters, and it's Steve Martin playing his banjo singing, but it's a lot of shtick back and forth and little skits and stand up between them. And Netflix or Amazon's got one of their specials recorded, and it's very funny, and they're very talented. Martin and Martin combo is very good.
Apparently Steve Martin has a little group called the Steep Canyon Rangers.
Correct. They play in this special.
Oh, wow. I had no idea. I mean, Steve Martin cracked me up playing his banjo songs on like his 70s comedy albums, basically.
Yes.
So I'm glad that he's back doing it. He has quite the talent for it. Banjo, I understand, is not the easiest of instruments to play well.
No, I think guitar is hard by itself. It's not an easy instrument. Banjo, I think, is a whole step harder. He's got, and my wife owns these, a bunch of albums that he did playing banjo with Edie Brickell, who
no
you may
way.
Remember.
I fucking loved Edie Brickell. Her hip, yes. Her long-haired hippie ass. I mean, just you know,
beautiful, you know, and she's a good singer too.
Beautiful, I'm sure, you know, doesn't shave anywhere and smells sort of like hemp. I'm a fan though. The whole look works for me, baby.
These albums might work for you too. They're good.
Steve Martin comedy banjo.
Edie Brickell.
No, oh yeah, okay. I'm looking up too. His comedy banjo from the 70s. Cadillac up your nose was one of his jokes. Yeah, here you go. Okay. Oh, the Tonight Show. 1975.
Because he's got a hinge loose somewhere, which I think you have to have to be comic. You have to think funny and think ridiculous. His name's Steve Martin, of course. He'll be appearing at the Exit in Nashville, Tennessee, and on the 12th of this month, 12th and 13th of October, and at the Cellar Door in Washington, D.C., October the 16th through the 19th.
Okay,
would you welcome,
John,
please, Steve Martin.
Well, thank you very much. Got a lot of people here. How many people are here tonight? Just out of curiosity, raise them up. Okay, well, we're going to... One other question before we start. How many people do not enjoy raising their hand? This is just a curious thing for me. You do not enjoy
raising their hand. Here's the banjo.
I hate to talk about Nixon because I kind of feel sorry for him.
Nixon jokes.
Wow. Man, he goes way back.
Let's get going with professional show business. Here we go. Hey, hey.
He starts to tune it up. He's like, hey, hey. So I guess you have to you have picks on various fingers on playing banjo.
Yes.
So you're not just strumming with a single pick. You're actually plucking at the strings with all five of your fingers.
And that's got to take some special talent, I got to believe. I mean, Steve Martin, you remember how big it was when he would be the guest host on Saturday Night Live and the Wild and Crazy Guys were going to make an appearance? That was stay up late, tune in, mandatory tune in for stay up late on Saturday Night Live in the 80s, late 70s. Yes,
it was. Speaking of tuning in, so today on a whim, I tuned in via the interwebs, Philadelphia Sports Radio, WIP.
Oh, yeah, WIP. I'm on there every Thursday. Yes.
Right. With who?
I do the Joe and John show, which is their midday show.
Jody
DeCamera. Yeah. I'm a big fan.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm on Philly Sports Radio today. I'm just on a whim because I'm like, the Eagles are rolling. They just crushed the Giants. They're 12-1. What could they be talking about? Care to guess what they were talking about today? Multiple shows as I listened to the end of Jody's show.
It's, and not, the, it's not the Flyers.
No.
Don't know.
The Eagles, of course. But okay, here were some of the main themes. Theme one, is this real?
Yeah, well, that's legit. Right?
I know you're feeling that as a Viking fan. Yes,
very
and you're
much
feeling
so.
Increasing yes. panic that, no, it's not real. It is a giant right. mirage. Okay. Mm-hmm. The second theme was, what happens if they win the Super Bowl? Can they do it again?
Again? Wow.
Holy shit. Are you guys even listening to what you're saying right now?
That's some hubris for a fan base that had no Super Bowl wins until 4 years ago.
Right. Carson Wentz was supposedly the real deal, turned out to be a fraud. Is Jalen Hurts a fraud? Was another question that was asked, I think, by one of the callers. And then one of the hosts said, yeah, they're good this year, but they got a lot of guys coming up, and they're going to leave via free agency. So I don't know if Howie Roseman can build a team for the long term, because, you know, he's able to build good teams that pop up every now and then. And again,
that's kind of fair. Now, yeah, you know, they have the luxury of having a quarterback who does not have a $200 million contract, and that lets them do things like go sign James Bradbury when you need a cornerback. Okay, well, let's just go get the best guy in free agency. You know, when your defensive tackle goes out, well, let's just go sign Ndamukong Suh. You know, they can do that stuff when you don't have to pay your quarterback $40 million a year, like they're going to have to in about 1 year, maybe this offseason or at most the next offseason.
Yeah, well, he's going to be a $40 million quarterback because he's playing great football. He's really improved himself, and he's in his third year of a rookie deal in which he was, what, a second-rounder?
Second-rounder. Yeah. He's going to be MVP. He's going to win the MVP.
Yeah, very cheap. So it's just funny to tune in and go, okay, see, this is what I've always said to people. I'm like, good NFL teams, like when your team is rolling, it's good for your ratings in sports radio, but it's bad for the on-air product because you don't have much to pick at and you don't have much to try to improve upon. There's not the kind of, you know, angst and chaos of a bad season and guys who are being complete shitheads. You're like, all right, we're rolling. I mean, that's how it's been the last 3 years with the Packers. Now, all of a sudden, the fan base and us in the media have to contend with, okay, there's real problems. So what are the problems?
Yes.
So what are you guys saying in Minnesota right now? I'm dying to know after last Sunday's bad loss in which you were like, shit, we might be fraudulent.
We end up, you know, look, we talked at this time last week, the Vikings were underdogs, and I said they deserved to be underdogs, and they ended up losing. Although, you know, there was one pivotal play that could have turned the whole thing. The Vikings got jobbed. 71-yard touchdown to Justin Jefferson down the right sideline, in which he never stepped out of bounds, but erroneously the ref whistled the play dead, thinking he had stepped out of bounds when it was clear on his way to the end zone.
I saw that highlight, and I'm like, how did they overturn that?
Well, they whistled it dead, you couldn't challenge it because they whistled it dead.
Yeah.
And that would have made it a, I believe, 3-point game at that point. And this is mid to fourth quarter or so. So that could have been enough to turn the whole thing. Who knows? But that's what we're saying. But that's not, you know, the big talker here is our pass defense is unbelievably bad. I mean, we're heading into like historic territory. For the first time in the 60-year history of the team, Steve, they've given up over 400 yards of offense in 5 straight games.
Wow. That's a lot. And I guess somewhere Mike Zimmer is smiling saying, miss me yet?
yeah, that's right. You thought it was easy putting these guys out on defense? Yeah.
So why are the Vikings so bad on defense?
Here's why. They've got an old, aging group of players. They're running a bad scheme right now that nobody likes with Ed Donatell, and they never blitz. They're giving up anything you want over the middle. You want 11 yards over the middle, you can have it every single play for the entire game.
Well, shit, I'd take that all day. Like a free nacho machine or nacho station in the lobby. Right. I'd eat it all day.
That's exactly what teams are. They're doing. They're taking that all day long. And the Vikings draft spent first, second, third, fourth, and fifth round picks on defense. No action from any of those guys. They're either hurt or so bad they can't hit the field. They totally whiffed on their draft.
Wow. Okay. Is there a general feeling like with it, is there something that can be done to salvage hopes of something significant in January with a defense this utterly permissive?
The fan base wants that change to be the head of Ed Donatell. They want the defensive coordinator fired.
Okay.
And they want to see schematic changes that would involve way more blitzing to try to, because if you're going to give up, if you're going to give up 11 yards on every play,
you might as well bring some heat to the quarterback.
Right. Yeah. You may as well, right? Why not? And there's some truth to that. And so that's the change the fan base wants. They want to see firings over this,
yeah,
which is unlikely to happen.
Make March Madness a moneymaker with MyBookie. Getting started is easy. Visit MyBookie online and use promo code ZABE to receive a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Grab your extra funds now and for a limited time, claim a free entry into the $150,000 MyBookie Madness Bracket Contest for a chance at the big money. If you're the type of guy who likes to fill out multiple brackets to get an advantage, you can do that too. The price of entry is less than an Uber, all for a shot at life-changing amounts of moolah. With so many brands to choose from, you need a platform that makes it simple to bet and simple to win and simple to get paid, like MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. All right. I was at a mall the other day, and we'll put that aside for a second, the state of malls in America. You are at the Mall of America. You are in Minneapolis, where they have the largest mall ever constructed, the Mall of America. But I'm at the mall, and I'm in a shop that has board games. It was actually one of the few remaining bookstores still left. It was Books a Million. Bam! Bam! All right.
Nicely done.
I see a Monopoly game that has a special cover to it, special theme to it. It's of a giant red dragon in crimson red, and it says Monopoly Dungeons and Dragons Edition. And I thought, what? I'm like, are they somehow combining these two games where you're both fighting a group of orcs in a abandoned pyramid dungeon while at the same trying to buy Boardwalk and Park Place and charge people $500 if they land on there? What's going on? So I take a picture and I send it to Charge, and you say to me, oh yeah, there's nothing shameless in Monopoly's book when it comes to co-opting stuff. And Monopoly is hated in the board game community. Explain.
Correct. So two parts. First is it's all the same Monopoly. They just reskin the exact same game with Packers edition or Minnesota edition or whatever, you know, The Office or Seinfeld. And all they do is reskin the exact same gameplay.
So the properties that you acquire just have the different kitschy names that correspond to what has been skinned.
Exactly. So if it was Seinfeld, right? So their corner cafe would be in there. The
property, right?
You know, all the different places that they typically would go would be on the game.
Okay.
And in the board game community, there's nothing as reviled as Monopoly
because
the game sucks. It's so bad. And everybody who hates board games hate it because they grew up playing shitty games like Monopoly and they think they don't like board games. And the rest of us are like, no, these games are great now. We've iterated on all these games and there's all of these fantastic games that have come out in the last 10 years that show all the innovation and promise. And it's so creative now and these games are well balanced and there's something for everybody. And then people just go, yeah, I hate Monopoly. They're like, no, it's nothing like Monopoly.
So it's interesting. It's still the number one board game of all time, right?
Only maybe by sales. If you were to go to what the IMDb is for movies, right?
Yes.
Yes, the Internet Movie Database, where all of the movies that have ever been made are ranked and graded by users. There's a board game equivalent of that called BoardGameGeek.com.
Okay.
You could head there now if you want to.
Okay.
And if you go to BoardGameGeek.com and you type Monopoly in, you will see where Monopoly is ranked by users on BoardGameGeek out of the, I think there's something in the neighborhood of, I don't know, 40, 50,000 games on BoardGameGeek.com.
All right.
And I'm going to guess Monopoly is sitting somewhere else. I won't have to guess. It is sitting at, out of 10, its average score is 4.4. And it is currently sitting at board game ranking number 23,579. Oh,
God. Number That's one Monopoly. In sales, 23,000 and change in popularity.
In ranking, because every user can grade it one right. time.
So
you give it a grade, yeah.
If I may, because I haven't played in forever, what's wrong with the game?
Here's what's wrong with Monopoly. There is only one path to victory, which is be lucky that you can land on properties that you can buy, and you buy everything. You never say no.
There's
you
no
buy
strategy.
Everything you can.
Right.
No strategy. There's only one way to win.
Right. Buy. Gobble it all up.
Yep. And then just hope the dice work out for you and against your opponents. That's it.
So it's low on strategy. Someone else said it takes forever to play.
Yeah, that too. It's a painful exercise lasting 3 hours to play a game that is tiresome in about 3 minutes.
Okay. I don't think you watched The Sopranos, did you?
I did.
Do you remember what started the near deadly brawl between Tony and Bobby Bacala? It was Monopoly.
That does not surprise me at all.
Here we go.
Boardwalk high on it.
Yeah, you blue guys under it.
You blue guys under the boardwalk.
Okay. Second prize in a beauty contest. Collect $10. Go ahead.
Make of course, they're drunk.
Stupid joke.
I got nothing to say. I think I'll buy a railroad. A German Shepherd shaved asshole won first prize.
Oh. Oh. What about my wife?
You married her.
She's my home. No more talking like that.
It's okay, Bob.
Stay out of this. The Sopranos. You go too far.
All right. Jan, he's right. I'm sorry. I crossed the line.
It gets a little bit long. Like
boardwalk with his schlong in Jan's mouth.
He just knocks them out right there. Okay, well, now I know something. Well, is there any way to stop the scourge of Monopoly? Is there a way to reconfigure Monopoly so that there is some strategic options or elements to it? Could you make it so that you go bankrupt because you're over-leveraged with properties, like in the real world?
I think there's two ways to make Monopoly interesting. One is to basically say, anything goes. If you can steal from the bank, do it. If you can slide somebody else's property onto your side of the board, do it. Whatever. Anything
that's
goes.
End up in fights, cheating, just like in The Sopranos.
That would make it interesting. The other interesting thing that you could do with Monopoly is you put it all back together in the box, douse it with lighter fluid, and then send your evil Knievel right over that thing on fire, baby. That would be an interesting use of Monopoly.
All right, what are the top three board games that people have heard of, Charge, that you like? Because I know you have a huge closet full of shelves and shelves. I don't want to hear stuff that nobody's heard of. I want the mainstreamers that you think are the best of the three during this holiday season. Go.
Well, let me start by mentioning this. If you I keep, because so many people ask me for board game recommendations,
I know.
That I keep a document that I every about once a month I will tweet out and just say, here are my board game recommendations for people to play. And they are, you know, most of these are not games that everybody knows, but most of them are games that anybody could play. As a common example, like, is it available? Can you buy it at Target and not have to go to a game store? Is like, you know, if it's at Target, then it's pretty universal. So Ticket to Ride is a game set in 1800s America where you try to construct rail lines between cities.
Never heard of it.
Ticket to Ride. Okay.
No. Next.
All right. Next. If you really want to go old, if you want to go old school, like the games we grew up with, the one game that I think does not suck ass is Clue. Clue's pretty good.
Okay.
Clue is, it's got some intrigue to it. It's got strategy in it. It's got, and some of the strategies off the board. Have you played Clue before?
I mean, I know it, you know, Colonel Plum with a lead pipe in the observatory. That's Clue, right? Yeah.
Yeah, that's the right concept. You got none of those parts right, I think, except lead pipe. But okay. Yes, those that's in Clue. But you can also do, beyond what's just happening on the board, you can do some deductive off the board reasoning. Like, why is Zabe asking those three things?
Right.
Even though, you know, I can start to deduce some things out of that if you want to. You can do some social engineering, as they say.
All right.
So that's a good one.
This list that I'm looking at does have Ticket to Ride amongst the best of the best board games, but they include Candyland, Risk, The Game of Life, Stratego, Battleship, Sequence, Balderdash, Pictionary. That's a big one.
When was this list? Jenga. When was this list made? Like 30 years ago? Jeez.
These are classics, Charge.
I don't know. They are classics.
Hold on a second. I'm going through time here. Balderdash, right. Pictionary, Jenga, Taboo, Catan, Apples to Apples, Carcassonne, Ticket to Ride, Bananagrams, Cards Against Humanity.
Have you played Cards Against Humanity?
I have not, but I hear it's, really? I hear it is a scorcher, especially while drunk.
With the right people.
With the right
people. Yes, that is it. The right people while drunk. It's about as good as it gets.
Okay.
Very, very fun.
They were playing on the NFL Network in the morning. On Sunday, they were playing whatever the game is where you try to draw the clue, but you can't say the word.
Pictionary.
They were playing Pictionary. And, of course, Michael Irvin kept breaking the rules because, I don't know, he's a little slow, I guess. So he would blurt out.
He'd say what he's trying to write.
God. Well, you know, I'm glad board games are still around. I'm glad that you are still nerdy enough to play them. I should probably encourage the family to play a game, but it takes patience and attention. And in this day and age, that's harder and harder to come by, right?
It is, but, you know, the board games now, you want a 15-minute game, done. We could do that. You want a 3-hour game, we can do that. If there's a subject matter you love, there's a board game for it that falls into that as well. And that's part of the fun of it.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go to malls. I was at this mall on Monday, and it's the mall where I pretty much raised my daughters, in Loudoun County, Virginia, Eastern Loudoun County, the richest county in North America per capita, Loudoun County. Crazy how much money is in the county. And the mall had been built in 1999. We moved into our house in early 2000s in Sterling, Virginia, in Loudoun County, just across the border from Fairfax County. And I took my daughters to this mall all the time because it was nice. It was new. It had good stores. It had a Macy's that's now gone. It had a Nordstrom Sears. That is now gone. Had a Sears that's now gone. Yep. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it had a food court that was fantastic. Love the mall food court, right?
Wow. You're the only person I've ever talked to that loves the mall food court, but you love Panda Express. You love Panda Express, so this is right in your wheelhouse.
I mean, how can you not love the food court? There's all kinds of great fast food, processed food, junk to eat right there, walking distance. Just, ooh, what would I like? And you go get a sample from one, and you go get a sample from another. And before you know it, you're like, I'm kind of full, actually, right now. So this mall has been bleeding anchor stores and other stores, and it's just going downhill, which is quite the shame. And when I went in there with my daughter, they had the power was out in the food court.
And oh my God.
Yes. And there was nobody scrambling around in order to go, oh my God, this is unacceptable. On a Monday during the peak of the holiday season, I know it's a Monday and everything, it's not their hugest day, but still, Santa was there. And the Santa was pretty sad because nobody was in line.
Nobody was there to see Santa. No. Nobody.
No. It was one family in line in front of us, and that was it. We'll go see him. They had the train that goes around the mall. That was still working. But otherwise, it was the most depressing thing ever. And I said, you know what? This is probably my last time I'm ever setting foot in this mall. And I went there all the time with both my daughters for 20 years almost.
It's sad.
How is Mall of America doing?
Mall of America is actually doing great. Part of it's Minneapolis. You got to understand, it's so bleeping cold. Everybody else now has outdoor malls, right? You know, they got, you know, big shopping areas that are all set out outdoors, and you don't go into the mall anymore. But in Minnesota, half the season, nobody wants to do that. You know, so the Mall of America is doing great, but the rest of our malls are all struggling for the most part with all the same things that the others have. Roxy and I walked out of a mall about 2 days ago. And we're walking by JCPenney, and we looked at each other and said, this is the last Christmas it's here.
No.
There's no way. There's no way that it's going to make it through another Christmas, I don't think. And the other funny thing that happened, Santa, you know, you talked about these underwork Santas. I'm in the mall. Santa came up to me and said,
hey, little boy, would you like to sit on my lap? Hey, that's creepy, Santa. What are you doing?
Right. Santa is so desperate for action, he asked if I wanted a picture with him. And I'm like, I pity you. Yes, I'll do it. I will do it to make you feel better, Santa. And so I took the picture, the selfie, with Santa out of pity. I'm going to send you the picture right now.
Oh, my God. That is funny as hell. Have you seen the new NBA awards trophies?
No, I understand they named them after star players now.
They did. Right? They lined them up so that the NBA MVP every year is now the Michael Jordan MVP. Mm. The Hakeem Olajuwon trophy is to the defensive player of the year. The George Mikan trophy goes to the most improved player. The John Havlicek trophy goes to the sixth man of the year. And on
that could have been the McHale. That could have been the McHale trophy right there. You know, why not, right? I mean, the NHL has got Lady Bing and, I don't know, all these old players from a million years ago.
Who the fuck was Lady Bing, by the way?
Yeah, I'd like to know. Was he, you know, was it Cherry related? I don't know. Who was Lady Bing? And why was Lady Bing so important?
Lady Bing spelled B-Y-N-G.
Oh,
the Lady Bing Memorial Trophy, formerly known as simply the Lady Bing Trophy. Presented to the NHL player to have exhibited the best type of sportsmanship and gentlemanly conduct combined with a high standard of play. So you couldn't just be a nice guy who got very little minutes on the ice. You had to actually have to be a regular player who was pretty good and also not a dick on the ice.
Now, you've got to figure Gretzky won it a bunch of times because he never fought, right? And he was obviously great. And I got to believe, let me look, Gretzky, he only won it one time.
Okay.
No, three times, four times, five times.
The Lady Bing is named after Marie Evelyn Morton, a.k.a. Lady Bing. It was Marie Evelyn Morton was known as Lady Bing.
Part of that is Lady Bing.
Well, the wife of the Viscount Bing of Vimy, who commanded Canadian forces at the Battle of Vimy Ridge and was Governor General of Canada in the 1920s. Lady Bing, an avid hockey fan, decided to donate the trophy to the NHL in 1924-1925. How great is that?
That's awesome. That's some history right there. I love that.
And that's by the way, that's a big-ass trophy that you get your name on a plaque, so it's like a traveling trophy. It's not an individual one, but if you look at these new trophies, here's my biggest fucking beef, all right? So Michael Jordan trophy. I'm all about it. MVP. Although, you know, at some point, someone's going to bitch up a storm. Probably, you know, Nick Wright saying it should be the LeBron trophy because he was better than Jordan.
No, whatever. That's not true.
If you look, yes. If you look at the pose of Michael Jordan, it's no pose I ever remember him playing or creating on the court. They actually had a graphic that showed a lot of great iconic Jordan moments flying through the air, legs spread, arms out.
Yes, tongue out.
Tongue out, you know, split leg, sideways, dunking and everything. Like, they could have chosen from any one of a dozen. Instead, they just have him reaching up high with a basketball as if it was corporate sales award number 6 in the catalog. And they go, yeah, we'll take that one. Come on, NBA, do better than that. Plus, the other trophies are like these, they're like these crystal vases with
yes.
what looks like a gold figurine embedded inside the vase. So in other words, you can't put flowers in these vases, but inside is a little gold figurine representing the players. I don't know, man. I don't know. Are you a trophy guy at all? Do you give a shit about what trophies look like in sports?
You know, I do kind of care. I want them to be super cool. Now,
do you remember how bad the AFC-NFC championship trophies used to be before they changed them?
No, I don't remember.
Okay, you'd have to look that up. They used to look like giant ashtrays. They would have a wooden base. They would look it up. If you're at a computer, look it up. They used to have a wooden base that was shaped like a football, but you couldn't see that when they were held in people's hands. So it just looked like a weird sort of ashtray base. No, you're
right. Yes, I do recognize this. And you're right. It does look like an ashtray. That's weird.
Yeah, and it had like a little fake backdrop, and it had the A or the N representing the conference. Well, they changed that to make them sort of hollow skeleton footballs that are made of silver.
Too. Yes.
And I think those are better trophies. I like that.
Now, clearly the best trophy in sports, and it's not close, is the Stanley Cup.
Yes. The Stanley Cup won. I would argue the Lombardi is 2 for its clean, iconic look. I would say the World Cup is 3, although the World Cup trophy is small and it's not a cup. It's a hunk of gold. Have you seen it?
No.
Okay.
I have not seen it, but I've got another one for you that I think you're going to love.
Okay.
Claret jug.
Claret jug for the British Open is good.
It's great. You get your name, you know, it's got all the names of the winners that are etched on it forever. I love that part of it. John Vandeveld, remember when John Vandeveld, they had to take his off, they had started etching his name onto it.
Right.
And they went, whoa, his name's halfway on the jug. And they had to somehow, and I don't know how you un-etch
it.
Something, but they somehow did.
Yeah. It's a pretty good trophy right there. I know that a lot of fantasy leagues, since we got to talk a little bit of fantasy here, how are you doing, by the way, in all your leagues? Of your leagues that you are in, how many potential championships will you maybe bring home in the next 4 weeks?
Realistically, I started in 7 guillotine leagues. I got knocked out of 2 of them. I had gotten knocked out of 3 or 4 before this over the course of the season. Got knocked out of 2 last night when Ramondre Stevenson went belly up after the first drive. He got hurt, came back for one more drive, got hurt, and that was the end of it. And that knocked me out of 2. So I'm down to 2 guillotine leagues left, including the whiskey league. I'm alive in that.
Okay.
I have vowed to take Josh down. He's still alive.
He's still alive. Does he have Justin Jefferson?
He does have Justin Jefferson. Yes,
that explains a lot. That explains a lot right there.
That is a problem right there.
So how many? How many leagues were you in? All kinds of formats.
Probably 12, 13. Yes.
Of the 12, how many championships do you think you have a chance at? 2?
4.
4. Okay.
I got a shot at 4.
When the smoke clears, how many do you think you'll have? 1 or 2?
2.
2. Okay. Yeah. Is that a good year for you, by the way? 2 out of 12.
2 out of 12? Yeah. That's not bad. I mean, in theory, I guess I should do better than that if it's a 12 team league. Although these guillotine leagues are 18s, which makes it harder. I think quite a bit harder. But yeah, I should probably do better, but I think most of the time I'm like 2, 3.
You know, as nimble as you can be, as crafty as you are, and you should listen to Church's Fantasy Football Weekly every week on iTunes and on KFan. It's a great show. It's a lot of luck. You know, Cooper Cup owners got fucked this year, right? No two ways about
it. Ramondre Stevenson. I mean, you know, the biggest luck factor is the injuries, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. That's can't predict it.
Charge, gird yourself for the final 4 weeks for your Vikings. Could be a bumpy landing, but I think you'll still win the division.
It might be a bumpy landing.
You'll still win the division. You'll still get a home game, and then we'll see what happens from there. All right, buddy.
Thank you, my friend.
All right, talk to you later.
My brother and I are now experts in the field.
Yeah,
eh?
Right, because we're a band now. And,
well, so, except for him. I'm a band.
Oh, how can you do that, making me look bad? You're such a hose hand.
Yeah, well, take off.
Take off.
Make March Madness a moneymaker with MyBookie. Getting started is easy. Visit MyBookie online and use promo code ZABE to receive a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Grab your extra funds now and for a limited time, claim a free entry into the $150,000 MyBookie Madness Bracket Contest for a chance at the big money. If you're the type of guy who likes to fill out multiple brackets to get an advantage, you can do that too. The price of entry is less than an Uber, all for a shot at life-changing amounts of moolah. With so many brands to choose from, you need a platform that makes it simple to bet and simple to win and simple to get paid, like MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.